Monster
it's doing.
Tig Monster Tig them. But you don't. There's no punctuation in it. Monster Tig them. Monster take. You're going to change the complete emphasis of how you pronounce the word if you remove the.
Well, it's true. It's no spaces in there. You have to roll it all in together, don't you?
Yeah.
Really?
Just putting this out, developers. If you do that, I will pronounce your game how it's spelt.
Oh, the threat.
Yeah. So
the Monster power.
Hang on. How do you say PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Like E.T. apparently.
I think that's creepy.
Hello and welcome to the Pocket Game iPhone Gaming Podcast, episode number 170. I'm the host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is Peter Willington.
Hello.
John Jordan.
Hello.
And a sniggering Keith Andrew.
I'm not sure why you do that. Sometimes you say, I'm the host this week, because you're the host.
Because it's never a certainty, is it?
Is it not?
I mean, tomorrow I could be dead.
Oh, I thought you meant that. I thought you might be fired, all them rumours I've been hearing.
Then you wouldn't be on the podcast, would you? You just, like, we go, he's not here this week, and someone else would be, you know.
Easy come, easy go. The new Will would appear.
That's crazy. You know that I've been debating on Twitter whether to get a bicycle?
Yes.
So my neighbour opposite has literally just put a bicycle outside and stuck a price on it. And I
How
can
much?
See it from here. 30 quid.
Go and get it.
Is it a good one?
Well, it looks a bit... Oh, I don't know. You need a second-hand one in Cambridge. Obviously, get nicked in a day. Hmm. Like, the insurance costs, if I try to insure a bicycle in Cambridge...
I'd Why would you insure a bicycle?
Because they get stolen in a day. I'm not joking. If you're riding around with a new bicycle and you stick it somewhere, even though there's tons... If you go to Cambridge Station, there's, like, about 500 bicycles all in the, like, the bicycle
Been there.
Park.
Been there.
But they're all old. You won't see any new bike because the moment you put a new bicycle in, you'll just get the bicycle thieves coming around nicking them.
People wouldn't steal yours because you ride naked, so.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be able to see me if I've parked it. I mean, parked it, but, you know, chained it up.
Might be able to smell you on it.
They'd see you, Will. They'd see you.
That's a good point. I might get that, you know.
Just stop what we're doing. Run out, go and grab it. We'll hold down the fort. It's all right.
I won't pay for it. That's not the done thing. So there we go. What's actually going to happen, though, this podcast? Well, we're going to tell you in a second when we go to the news.
Can someone actually send me the news?
I've sent it to you twice.
I've not got it. I've not got the news.
What?
It's not come through. What do I be lying? I've not had the news. Because someone just sent me the news. Keith, forward it to the
news. I'm sending it. Hang on. Oh, yeah, no, it's there. Yeah, I'm sending it. Sending.
News! See, everyone walking past the bicycle is like literally doing a double take, walking back, because that woman just did there, and another woman with a child just did it like a second ago. It's going to go in like 2 seconds, I bet you. Anyway, right, welcome to the news. I've edited out quite a bit there because John was complaining that I wasn't emailing the news to him.
And, has he got it?
Has he got it?
Gmail's down. Gmail's play Gmail.
All right, well, it's going to be an adventure into the unknown for one member of the podcast this week. But for everyone else, the first story out this week is that Quality Index, well, it's not really an iPhone-related one, sorry, but it's a site-related one. Quality Index for Android has just launched, which is one of our... If you don't know what Quality Index is, it's one of our sister sites. It's a bit like that site, beginning with an M and ending with a C, which has Critic in the middle, which collates scores from all the leading iPhone and iPad and now Android gaming sites.
Macritic. That's my favorite site.
It's like that one. But it's qualityindex.com. So if you type that in, you'll be able to find all the best rated games from all the your favorite sites on the internet, including us, 148 apps and Slide to Play and, you know, all them chaps.
Not Slide to Play. They don't do Android games.
Not Android. No, I mean, this is generally Quality Index. But I mean, okay. You know, you'll find stuff from Droid Gamers and other people like that if you go to the Android one. Yeah, so there we go. So check it out, qualityindex.com. That launched literally today.
Yesterday.
Yesterday in terms of...
Yeah, apart from that.
Okay. He's such a...
It's the use of the word literally today that was the your fatal error.
Right. Seriously, though, Readers Awards have been announced this week, literally 2 days ago. In association with iDream Sky, Cocoa China, Gree, and FreeAppADay.com, the Pocket Gamer Readers' Choice Awards 2012. The winner of the iPhone and iPod Touch, let's say the nominations just quickly to run through them. iPhone and iPod Touch nominations were Draw Race 2, Hypership Out of Control, Infinity Blade 2, Jetpack Joyride, Modern Combat 3, Sega and Sonic All-Star Racing. Ooh, I got that around the wrong way. Anyway, Spell Tower, Star Marine, Super Robbers, and Ticket to Ride Pocket. Shinsuke, who do you think won?
I think that just going by how I know our readership, that, you know, the relationship I've built up with them, that I suspect that probably Ticket to Ride Pocket probably won.
It did. To Ride also won Best iPad Game.
I knew that, yeah. Of course it did.
Beating games such as Draw Race 2 HD, Groove Coaster, Anomaly. That would be in dead heat in my nomination, but never mind. Yeah, so Ticket to Ride and Ticket to Ride Pocket won the iOS games.
It beat Kingdom Rush as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And of course, everyone remembers that I gave Ticket to Ride a gold award.
Exactly.
Everyone remembers that.
Said it was excellent. And then the stuff that I said was missing would be nice, they put it into one update. Mm. So effectively, it was a platinum.
They are very kind of on the ball developer. I think they're really good. Yeah, they kind of really. I guess I think a lot of the guys from that kind of like that board game type background are really into community. They really focus on that, and they really, you know, because I guess board games. I mean, you're a board game kind of chap, aren't you, Will? So, you don't sell loads of them, but you really listen to the community because you know if you give them a good experience that they'll buy the next one. So.
Yeah, definitely. The interesting thing as well about Ticket to Ride, both versions. They from the word go, they're linked into the PC game. Mm, okay. So you were cross-platform multiplayer from the moment, but it never told you that. So it was like I found out while I was reviewing, but like the first time you log onto it back when it first launched, there was like 1,000 games all running, so it was absolutely no problem getting a game, and it has like proper skill levels to match up against, and the expansion packs are proper expansion packs for like a few pennies, so I bought all them. And it's a very world. It's like their second game that they released, because they also released Small World, which was another.
Which, again, was another very highly rated.
Yeah, very highly rated. I gave that one a silver.
Yeah, no, I played a bit of that as well. I was very impressed by that, and I'm not geeky like you. I'm a normal person.
Hello, geeky. I'm not geeky actually. I'm quite cool. I asked arenyoucool.com and came back with yes.
And you answered in binary.
Oh yes, I answered in binary. You have to. So yeah, Ticket to Ride. Well, congratulations to Days of Wonder, because that's a big thing. And of course, Days of Wonder are the makers of the board game, which is very interesting. They made an in-house game essentially, which is good.
I think it's even more impressive because I think a lot of those people obviously license out to. They didn't know how to develop apps.
Yeah, the who is it? The Rio Grande licensed out their big title, which was Puerto Rico, of course. Mm. I didn't think that was very good. The base game is very good. I just don't think it was that well handled. It could have been a lot more clearer. Anyway, yes. So the other winners, in case you were interested, Android Cut the Rope, because of course that was out in the previous year. Xperia Play, Minecraft, which is obviously a very popular choice. Angry Birds won Windows Phone, because Windows Phone's about 4 years behind everyone else. Boom! Crash! Keith Andrew!
I was just going to say that I think Angry Birds was just a kind of indie hit, because I've not heard of that. It must be an up-and-coming release.
So, mobile is Carcassonne, another board game. But again, that was a good one from XYZ.
That was a good one.
It was very well made.
I don't even like the board game, but I was, you know, into that.
Carcassonne's an excellent board game.
Yeah, it's just a board game.
They're not. That doesn't mean they're boring.
Two out riding. I'm out riding motorbikes and smoking cigarettes and.
all
the cool kids do. Yeah, no, I'm clothed when I'm doing these things, so no.
You're not cool enough. Handheld went to Plants vs. Zombies, which was a bit of a surprise again.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, no, it's quite a good. It's a good. Deer Specimen's pretty good.
I would that not be more a reflection of our audience than.
Yeah.
Anything else, I would have thought.
Because there's games on that list that are. Yeah.
Like Professor Layton, eh, Vita?
Yeah, that is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely
If you clicked on the button, I didn't realise there's a button. If you click on the button and the winner disappears, it just scrolls away.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? What a lovely piece of coding or whatever that is.
UI design.
What's a bit scary about this new headset that I use is that actually the microphone was nowhere near my mouth when I said that, and I thought, that was a bit far away. Oh well, they won't hear it. But then you came back with, yes, you replied. So,
you sound exactly the same.
No, but look, I'm well away. Look, I've moved my mic.
Yeah, you can tell now. Yeah.
Those things you mutter under your breath about me, we can all hear them.
Bloody Keith. So
that's quite tame.
This is not an X-rated podcast. Right. Anyway.
There's an idea.
There is an idea. There's a gap in the market. If you could put it like that. Apple working on a controller. This is a rumor. Tech has just dropped this one in on one of their articles, saying that the writer, I know of an internal Apple project to bring a physical controller to market.
Things stuff like that. They may well have, you know, they may well have considered it. They may well have like made one out of plasticine or something. But it doesn't necessarily mean. I don't know why I chose plasticine. But it doesn't necessarily mean they'll ever do it.
I'd be absolutely amazed if they do it. Apple doesn't like games particularly internally. Yeah. And two, the whole point of designing a touchscreen device is it's a touchscreen device. I mean,
their movement forward is obviously that they want to, you know, go into new markets and that sort of thing. And I can very easily envisage a point where, you know, the next iPad, you know, is something that you put underneath an Apple TV and it all syncs up and it's also your, you know, it's also your console. So actually, like, at the moment, I completely agree with you. It's kind of ridiculous, but when they want to move into that kind of a market, and I for sure, you know, they like money, so I think that they'll do it.
they love money.
They do like money.
They do have already.
I think that when that comes about, then yeah, I think that could well be a great idea.
When that comes about, though, I still think it will be touchscreen. And I've said this before. I would suspect that any kind of move to do that will require you, because they can, to have a touchscreen iOS device that you then use as your controller. I can't imagine they'll launch anything peripheral. It's just not Apple. They just don't do that kind of thing. And as kind of John says, I don't think they really care enough. I don't think they'll, even if they did it, they would just want developers to sing to their tune rather than to bend over backwards and say, well, if it would make your life easier, we're going to make your controller. I just don't think they would bother. I think it clutters the vision. And I think you would be able to sell enough Apple TVs on the premise that to use it, you have to have either an iPad or an iPod Touch.
Going back to the Apple TV thing, I would be amazed if Apple TV comes out and had a remote control. It wouldn't be the Apple way of doing it. It would just be, you know, I think if they launch it, it'd have Siri in there and you'll say change channel, you know, or you have like maybe a camera in it and you'll wave at it.
I don't understand. Eat change.
Exactly. But, you know, I think Apple, you know, as we kind of seen, have become a bit more of a kind of like normal company since Steve Jobs isn't around to guide them in his slightly kind of megalomaniacal way. But I just can't see them having basically brought kind of touchscreen devices to the mass market, ever going back to some sort of, oh, we've got like three buttons here and you press that and that's the mute button.
Well, in the other thing, the other thing there, in I've had this conversation with Jonathan, is that if you do that, then the controls you've already got in place, all the apps that are there on the App Store, assuming that it taps into the same App Store in some way, you've got the same problem that all these peripheral manufacturers have, in that they have to get games to support them in some way or the other, and the number that do is incredibly minimal. So you would either, if you said, right, we're launching on, you'd either have to completely launch a completely separate App Store that had games that were built for controllers.
It's
they'll never do that, because it completely kills their advantage and they're essentially starting from scratch, square one. Or you have to say, right, you can use your touchscreen apps, but some of them will support controllers, and it's a muddle. I don't think they care enough about it to do that. I think they will launch something where you have to, you control things with a device you have already, because people do have those devices already. And the kind of people who buy Apple TV won't have an Android phone. They'll have an iPhone and an iPad, and probably both, to be honest. So I think if they do launch a controller and then therefore they have an App Store which is completely new, like the Mac App Store, which doesn't connect to the other one, the existing one, then it won't do as well.
Obviously we're sort of assuming that we're going with the sort of traditional download model as opposed to like a third party streaming service or something similar to that. Like, for example, a third party controller.
If they do that, then they'll buy someone, and we'll all know, because they'll just buy someone, and it'll be obvious what they're doing, but they haven't.
They don't like relying on third party companies for core products, as it were.
Like Siri,
yeah. Did you mean bike, Harry? No. Ashton Kutcher is apparently rumored to be playing Steve Jobs in the biopic of possibly the same name.
He can barely play himself, let alone someone else.
To be fair, our pitcher has
terrible. He's awful.
I think it was Variety who the original source. They had quite a close picture of the two, but it wasn't.
They look the same. I mean, you can do a certain amount of makeup, but
you don't need to look anything like the person in question.
Well, you do need to look something.
You do
like
kind of need. No, you need
not really.
Bit.
I mean, cast
Steve Jobs as Angelina Jolie as Steve Jobs.
She could probably get away with it, actually, saying that.
Within reason. It's like Meryl Streep doesn't look anything like Thatcher, even when she's made up. But
she
you buy
does,
it.
She does, though. She does look like Thatcher.
You put photos of them side by side, she looks nothing like her. But you buy it because she has the confidence that she can act. And so you completely buy it. The problem is that he can't. So that's a really... I suppose what they're thinking is maybe
this is his breakout role, Keith.
70s, 80s hair is probably what they're thinking.
Ashton Kutcher was considered to be a lame actor until he played Steve Jobs in the biopic. Steve Jobs.
Biopic. Is this for the cinema? Or is this for a NAF?
It's gonna be for the cinema. It's gonna be like The Social Network. It'll have a soundtrack by Nine Inch Nails.
But is this a properly confirmed thing, or is this just like, because this was like, it was an April Fool's. It came out on April Fool's, didn't it? So no one was really sure whether it was true or not.
I can imagine this being a TV movie with him playing.
It'll have to be a big budget.
Hollywood movie that he's fallen off that.
You'll never get through your life, Steve, unless you shape up.
He's fallen off that roster of being someone you actually want in your movie, though, hasn't he? I mean, he's in Two and a Half Men. It's like he's not a star anymore, is he? He's kind of like
But you have a low budget for biopics.
Yeah, but not a Steve Jobs one, because they know people are going to go and watch it if it is at the cinema.
I think they would think people are going to watch it anyway. Why blow the budget? You know, if we're going to make lots of profit.
It might make a decent movie if they cast someone decent.
Well, Mr. Controversial.
But we have lawyers aren't listening.
Anyway, should we keep on the sort of is it an April Fool's theme and go on to this story about a teenager being sued for copyright infringement after using a corporate logo in Draw Something? It's quite an amazing...
How on earth are you going to work this one out?
This is quite an amazing story that we were handed by a reader called Rob, who, in fact, that a British teenager is being sued for almost $45,000 because he used, because in a game of Draw Something, he drew a swoop. We can't say what the company is, but he drew a swoop.
Why is he from Malvern?
I don't know. Rob was, I don't know. Oh, I mean, he that's because he lived there, and that's where, that's why we reported Malvern. Yeah, of course, this was our April Fool's story. I don't think anyone fell for it. Not like last time when we had that air traffic control one
being reported
by the Sydney Herald, Sydney Times, something like that. But that was quite funny. But still, it seemed to have gone down well.
55 tweets.
55 tweets, 4 likes, which is nice. So
1 point on...
we get one, Google plus one.
No, one on what is the one in the left? The one all the kids use these days.
Oh, Reddit.
Reddit. It's got one Reddit, whatever that means.
I can't even see that, Mark. I'm not cool enough.
Well, you're blocked from Reddit. Just like John's email account, you're just blocked.
I was blocked from Reddit, actually.
Was it just you pushing your own stuff, that's why?
Yeah. I only did it once. They were very good. So it's actually a fake story, as everyone could guess. It has a brilliant line in it, though. At first, I thought it was a joke, a distraught Stonehouse told BBC News, but I didn't see anybody laughing, not even my cousin Jennifer. That's when I knew. Anyway, yes, that was our thoughts. So Draw Something has been, keeping on that theme, 50 million downloads.
I saw someone playing this yesterday on the train. And it's interesting because he was in a suit, he was 35, he was very well turned out, and he'd been somewhere to do some business, and then I was watching him try to draw some kind of cuddly bear on the train. He was really paying attention, and I just thought, this is amazing in a way. I've never played Draw Something, and I'm still reluctant to do so because I suspect I wouldn't get any work done. But I was quite astounded watching him do that. I'm not sure if he was. I was quite close, actually, so you might have noticed I was just watching him intently. But I thought that's really something quite special, really, when you've got someone, you know, just like on the train, whatever. It's a really easy, you know, you could say it's utterly throwaway, but he was really, really, really trying to get this bear looking good. And I thought, you're not the kind of person I imagine has ever played anything before. It was.
Yeah. Well, I think, in a sense, that's kind of like the exciting thing about it. But it's equally, that's like the, everyone's suggested that's kind of the danger about it. Because I think people go through these phases where they go, oh, I've got like an iPad or this. Because the other thing, I think that 50 million includes Facebook installs as well. So it's a kind of a cross-platform thing. So people just go, oh, there's this cool thing called Draw Something. And they kind of do it for maybe like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But obviously, in a sense, like Zynga have paid all that money in the sense that at least a majority of those people will be around for a long period of time. And I kind of think the problem now is the whole, what we call in the biz world, the app ecosystem is just so fast now that, you know, you have the friends. So you might play Word Something with your friends, and then you've been playing like Draw Something with your friends, and something else will come along, and you know, in each one of those things that you do, that means you're not doing.
It has somewhat of an advantage, like a general design advantage over a lot of other titles, and the fact though that it has to be social. I mean you could play against random people, but it's very, very set up to get your friends involved, and it integrates very quickly with, you know, Facebook, and it will soon integrate with Twitter. And of course it's at number one on both charts, so
back up there, isn't it?
So it's very hard to avoid. And like the moment someone says that, oh, you've got to play this game, it's called and then it's an easy name to remember, Draw Something.
How long do you think it's kind of funny.
It's not going to be Angry Birds, because Angry Birds kept its longevity not only being number one but also giving out free updates all the time, so people were constantly engaged. But I suspect it will do well for at least another month or two.
The irony with a game like this is that when the hype, you know, if the hype has ever died down on something like Angry Birds, is that you could still go and experience that by yourself. It doesn't really matter whether anyone's ever playing it again. The problem with something like this is that once the buzz is gone and the audience does start to move on and you then come across it and actually there isn't really anyone to play anymore.
You know, I don't think it'll ever reach. I don't think it'll ever reach the subscription PC MMO after 3 years that isn't World of Warcraft situation.
Oh no, but I just mean if you've got a select amount of friends, as you were saying, you can play randoms, but at the end, you know, you're meant to play your friends. Definitely. And once your friends have moved on, if you are late to
exactly.
Yeah, but the idea is that's when the game dies. Friend, your group of friends playing it, but then also the friends of the friends of the group are then playing, and then that sort of circles sort of spiral out, so it has a sort of ripple effect.
I still think you know it's an up and down. It will fall, I think, as quickly as it has risen.
I think Keith's completely right, because I think the thing that Zynga does do well is it goes, you know, it has all these people playing. Oh, we're playing Farmville, and now there's this Frontiersville, and there's Cityville, and it kind of people can play in those games for a long period of time. But if they want to move, like they're going to move with all their friends who've been playing Farmville, and they go, we'll try this other one, and they all move together, and that's kind of the whole kind of the thing that with the MMOGs that the people tried to do is you did a whole bunch of them because you knew at some point half your audience would get bored, or your churn rate was, you know, a third or something. And so you knew they were going to go somewhere, and if you gave them something where they didn't need to really put in the credit card details, you know, to a different company, they would just sit within that. And it's quite a hard model to do. And the problem with draw something is they draw something and it's the hottest thing now, but in 6 months' time, what's their next thing going to be? So it makes sense for Zynga to buy them because they can put them into Hanging with Friends or Words with Friends or Scrabble with Friends or whatever it's called. It's Scramble with Friends.
I was addicted to Scramble with Friends for literally a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then suddenly, at the same time as me, really, the requests I was getting, literally every few minutes off my iPod was going to say someone had challenged me. They just died. They just completely stopped. And I stopped. and I just do wonder how a company can...
And I think that's completely the thing with, like, because at least with, like, MMOGs, you were paying, like, a monthly subscription on a credit card or something, you know, or some sort of card. Whereas, like, with free-to-play games, it's just, I mean, it's like... There's nothing stopping you at all. You're just like, oh, well, this other thing on the App Store, I download it, it's free. And I think it's just this big group of people just kind of move across. Like, it's exactly the same as TV. You know, people will just, oh, this series is really good. And then, oh, this other one's really good. And you can only, so it's 9 o'clock. Okay, you can maybe record with one of them. But I think the whole pace of kind of apps and games, and maybe something like Draw Something isn't really so much a game as more like entertainment. Maybe it's a better way to look at it. I mean, it's just speeding up so quickly.
Well, yeah, the reason why they're so easy to play is also the same reason why they're then so easy to put down, because you're not invested in them. You think, oh, I'll do something else now. I think the advantage it has is it is a little bit creative, and you do feel a bit like you've done something, I think, when watching him drawing this bear, which might make it last a bit longer than, say, something like Scramble with Friends. Because literally, you know, that is your drawing. But at some point, they'll all bugger off. I can't say that, can I, Will?
No. Well, you can, yes.
Say that?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it all the time.
No. Yes, and finally this week, Electronic Arts has been named, or EA, sorry, not with the kids, has been named the worst company in America by the Consumerist on a public vote.
Brilliant.
Beating off lots of competitors.
Bank of America. But if you looked at that list, it was kind of a forced scenario, because they at no point did the public choose what company went in there. They just chose a whole bunch of companies, so like Walmart and I think Comcast and some of the mobile phone companies and like the big kind of conglomerates that everyone deals with. And kind of EA, I think there was maybe Zynga in there. There was like one other slightly gamey company, but you kind of think EA were the only kind of like cool company in there. There were lots of other just huge, enormous companies. So I kind of felt it was like a little bit self-selecting in a way.
You could say, though, that on the back of today's news, that I bet EA wish they could change the ending of that as well.
What's that all about? That's ridiculous.
You know?
I was just going to ask you, Will, how many people have EA beaten off? You were saying.
Well, they beat off quite a few people.
Yeah.
Yes. Quite a lot. And some of the
That's not. That, yeah. You can't keep that in.
So what did consumers say was so bad about EA?
Exactly. Like,
post-launch DLC packs, small developer buyouts, buggy games. Probably their stupid face.
It's a ridiculous self-fulfilling prophecy that you just put a, like a big company up that isn't like someone boring like Walmart, and they're going to win. I mean, think of all the games companies that we come across who are worse than EA. It's like billions of them. I mean, it's like EA is I think to all intents and purposes, from my dealings with them over 10 years, is one of the more professional outfits. I mean, they're just really bizarre to me.
Well, yeah, consumers. Yeah. That's not how they see it. They see it as evil.
And equally, to be fair, I think there was something ridiculous like a 250,000 votes or something, wasn't there? It was like a fairly large number of people who in voted. But they were voting. Who was it? EA. Who's EA? It's really annoying when you can't see the actual breakdown.
That's all right. We'll wait.
Yeah. Okay. So there were more than 250,000 votes.
And they won 64%.
And it was Bank of America. You kind of think, how many people does a bank piss off?
Especially Bank of America.
What's from Bank of America?
Well, I've heard stories from the Americans that they were often foreclosing homes without actually having the right to do it. So they're even worse than the normal bank, which normally just grabs all your money.
Do you want a quick rundown of the company? The companies who were involved: the Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Sprint, Delta. So like airlines really piss people off. Sally Mae, Ticketmaster, Capital One, PayPal, Charter, Netflix, GameStop, Kmart, Walmart, Best Buy, Target, Sony, EA, Dish, DirecTV.
This reminds me of that song from what's it called? Where he just goes, "The Grace God." We're smite down these.
Comcast, the United States Postal Service, UPS, Sprint, Facebook, Apple, Google, Verizon, and AT&T.
Right, this kind of thing gets me like super aggravated at like the end consumer, because like half of those companies that you mentioned there are responsible for things like the depression that we're in at the moment. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, you guys, like the fact that you were giving out money to people who couldn't afford to pay it back, and the fact that you were gambling with people's like livelihoods by
or destroying the environment in a section of the East Coast of an oil spill.
All of that sort of stuff, right? That's not as bad.
No, there were no oil companies in there. How bizarre is that? How is Exxon not in there?
Yeah.
All of that stuff is not as bad as post-launch DLC. Like, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, day one DLC on the friggin' disc, Peter. DLC.
That's so much worse than polluting the oceans. Like, come on. Get your priorities right.
Kind of is, though, isn't it? Yeah.
I did kind of pay for that disc.
It's kind of evil, you know.
So anyway, that's enough about evil talk. Let's go on to good talk with the midweek releases. This week on the new releases, we're going to the Ice Age to meet Bug Princess as she shows us her collection of Saturday morning RPGs.
That's pretty good.
Wow. That made sense.
Absolutely.
That did make sense. Mm. First up on the new releases, we have Monster Takedown, but without any spaces.
Oh,
so it is Monster Chicken.
So it's just taking out the spaces doesn't mean you take out the vowels. I don't know what you're
Monster Chicken. Monster Chicken. There's no punctuation in it. Monster Chicken. You're going to change the complete emphasis of how you pronounce the word if you remove the.
Well, it's
spaces.
True. It's no spaces in there. You have to roll it all in together, don't you?
Yeah. Just putting this out, developers. If you do that, I will pronounce your game how it's spelt.
Oh, The threat.
Yeah. So
the power.
Hang on. How do you say PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Like E.T. apparently.
That's creepy.
Monster Taken has you by protecting dangerous creatures from extinction. You're getting rid of helicopters who are trying to destroy them.
Helicopters are evil.
They're not as evil as EA. There are five different monsters to protect, and you've got like a big octopus and others, whatever ones that skip.
It looks like it's a bit on Independence Day when they start firing the missiles, but instead you've got the monster.
Yeah. A little bit less CGI.
I don't know, it was 1996.
They've just launched a nuclear missile as well, that's pretty rude. Anyway, so that's out now for iPhone and iPad, priced at 69p. Also out this week is G5 Games with Virtual City 2 Paradise Resort. Now, before I start, Virtual City I quite liked, but it got a 6, I think. I don't think it got... No, 7. I think. It's pretty decent. It's quite it's like my first transport game, which is all right. I don't mind that. Virtual City 2, despite the name, okay, Paradise Resort, also has you going into Florida, that's fine, Alaska, Utah and Nevada. So basically only one of those could be really counted as a paradise resort, because one of them's in the icy tundra, the other one's in the sort of mountainous and mountain and plains, and the other one's in a desert.
You know, doesn't it depend on your definition of paradise?
Exactly.
I really like, you know, I really liked it when BP put all that oil in the ocean, because I thought that, you know, gave it a nice edge. That was paradise for me.
Las Vegas is in Nevada, isn't it? The Mormons are in Utah, you know.
Cambridge is your paradise.
Lots of wives in Utah. It's fine. Yeah.
All right, fine. Okay, so Paradise Resort.
Well, the logo just kind of suggests that they're talking about beaches, isn't it?
It does a little bit. It looks good. It's got 73 different buildings, 42 kinds of goods. That's goods that you need to trade, and lots of different sort of production lines to fill. The woman who was your assistant in the first game has now bought herself a new suit.
Oh, well, you did well then in the first one then.
Yeah, she's bought herself a red suit now, and she looks slightly less uptight, because she's having a whale of a time in the Paradise Resort in the middle of a desert.
Of course she is.
You can get that suit in TK Maxx. She's not doing that well.
Well, fine.
Keith always wants to bring it down, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's always a bit of a clothes snob, really, I've noticed about Keith.
Clothes snob.
Oh, what label are you wearing?
Will be super dry.
Yeah. Oh, you've got... Did you get that from Topshop?
Topshop.
He's not talking about his underwear.
Oh.
I'm 29. I'm too old for Topshop.
Top man.
Well, that's the same thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be honest.
It is the same thing.
Just change the neckline slightly.
Pretty much. Anyway, so that's out now for free, but I bet you it's $2.99. Or as... $2.99 in app.
Oh, I see. Hmm. I'm just looking at the competition who are prepared to podcast at the moment. They've got the same big mic as us. Isn't that interesting?
What?
I was looking at Eli's prepared to podcast photo, and he's got the big mic that we have as well. Isn't that cool? Sorry.
They're just copying our. Copying us. Yeah. No, we've got two of those.
Yeah, we got two of them. Yeah. Don't use them very much.
No, we don't. Normally go for the headset. Bug Princess 2 is out this week from Cave.
Carve.
What?
Carve.
Carve, of course, yes. So Carve. I'm waiting for Peter. Bug Princess sequel. It's a bullet hell shooter that has three game modes: original, maniac, and ultra.
And die, and die. Is it?
Yeah. Well, no. Four difficulty levels: novice, normal, hard, and hell.
Just played one of their other ones and it looks exactly like that.
Yeah, yes, that's the beauty of them, Keith.
That's
they
the
are
beauty.
All exactly the same, and that's completely fine.
Is that fine?
Yeah, yes, it absolutely is completely fine.
It's going to have a different scoring method, though, surely. It'll have the Bug Princess scoring rather than...
Who cares? Because I would be dead in 10 seconds anyway, so the scoring system is completely irrelevant.
It's not usually that hard.
Well, the one I played was that hard, and yeah. And I could have... I have to say, I don't understand this, because this looks exactly the same as the kind of ones you were playing in 1997. You think, well, no, every other genre has kind of moved on.
That's the appeal.
It's fun.
That's absolutely the appeal of them.
But it's fun.
But wouldn't you just play the ones you already own?
No, because these are new.
These are.
They're not, are they?
They are new.
They are.
They're
yeah.
on look, the midweek releases.
Have a new name. that they look the same. So why not just save yourself your money and, you know, play one you've already got?
Bug Princess 2 is out now as a universal app, and it's probably really good. And don't listen to Keith. It's $2.99.
I doubt it.
$2.99 for a classic Japanese arcade game.
How's it classic?
Because it's old.
It's old, so it's not used.
It's new.
It's
old.
Oh, it's a re-release. It's
what a load of rubbish. Don't buy that, listeners. Don't buy that.
Keith would have you buy...
Village. Go buy that.
Follow Keith. Keith would have you buy Ice Age Village from Gameloft. You can if you put your app purchases in.
It's innovative. Look, it's completely... I'm watching the trailer now. It's there's nothing... There's a, no, don't buy it.
As you might guess from the title, it's a freemium game, and it's a social game. It's a movie tie-in, and it's from Gameloft.
Yeah, that's pretty real.
do your own math.
Yeah. Yes.
Although I would say it's a little bit interesting, because I think the last Ice Age game came out from Chinlingo, so there's also been a bit of a bidding war, maybe.
Drama.
Well, Gameloft also managed to get the... what is it? Littlest Pet Shop thing, didn't they?
Oh, they've done loads of them.
They nicked a few from EA recently as well.
Well, they've got Men in Black 3, haven't they? And
yeah.
They've gone for the movies big time.
I expect Men in Black 3 might be quite good.
You think? Really? Yeah. Really?
Well, I'm thinking more of their Java output than of their smartphone. They're normally their top film times for Java are normally quite good.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Dark Knight Rises, Ice Age, The Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, My Little Pony, and Littlest Pet Shop.
Surprising they got Dark Knight Rises, seeing as Warner Brothers has its own publishing division.
They're on holiday.
Anyway, Ice Age Village, not really much we can say. I mean, it looks like a freemium game. A social freemium game, I should add, rather than just a freemium. Sorry. So, yes, if you like harvesting, and if you like queuing up for stuff, permanently.
Why are people still making these kind of games? Odd, isn't it?
It's making game off money. Also, it's a little bit more debatable, this one, because it's also aimed at children.
It's got mini games featuring the.
Yeah, movies. But I mean, so is Smurfs Village. Anyway, so there we go. You know how it plays. You're not going to get it. It's free if you do want to try it, but. Babel Rising or Babel Rising? Babel Running. It's a spin-off from Tower of Babel, though, isn't it?
Babel Rising is the other game.
Yeah, Babel Rising is the other game. They're making a new version of that very soon.
3D. Yeah, look quite nice. A bit complicated, but
going to Kinect as well as smartphones.
Really?
Yeah, I saw the Kinect version. I don't know even if that's common knowledge. It should be. I went to a preview of it about 4 months ago, so it better be. Anyway, yeah, Ubi's publishing that one, though. But this one is Bulkypix. Babel Running, you run across desert-like Mesopotamian landscape, jumping over alligators, carrying blocks to the Tower of Babel, avoiding obstacles.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry about that one.
Yeah. Next one is...
See, I want to know. So going back to running games, there was the Mega Jump, the famous. You know, it's like I think a game now that's kind of the kind of Doodle Jump. And they've had Mega Running. They've shown it to me for the last like almost like a year and a half, and it's still not come out yet.
I thought it came out.
That's gonna be really polished when that comes out, isn't it?
I thought it came out recently.
Did it?
Or maybe they're still previewing. I don't know, actually. Maybe it's coming out soon. Anyway, moving on, because I've just looked at the time. It's quite a long podcast. Saturday Morning RPG is out this week. It's a sort of Japanese RPG meets sort of mini games with the style of 1980s children's cartoons. The music, actually, on the trailer is excellent.
I was hoping it was going to be like those games you used to play on Going Live when you have to ring up and then...
That is Hugo the Troll, though. I mean, that was one of them.
Left, left, right, up, up, and then the guy gets it wrong, so they give you the prize anyway.
Rubbish, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, those were amazing. Mm. Yes, so Saturday Morning RPG is out now. It's available for free. It looks quite good.
Quite good.
So check that one out, I'd say. On the Wind by Don't Step on the Cracks is also out this week. It is a... What is it? It's a casual title that you take control of the wind. Sounds a little bit like Flower.
It is... I've been watching this trailer and blood...
I like the way that you kind of like stopped yourself. You definitely wanted to say it was, but you kind of thought that was rude. So you kind of like, it is.
Yeah.
It is basically a massive rip-off, isn't it?
Like, yes, the way it's a massive, massive rip-off of a game that deserves not to be ripped off. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's, but it's side on. It's 2D, Peter. It's not the same.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Brand new experience.
Experience to the iPhone and iPad. That is available for £1.49.
Taking them a long time to rip it off, hasn't it?
Mm. I mean, it looks good, though. I mean, to give it its due, that actually does look really good. But it looks really good because it looks like Flower. So. Yeah.
Out of the Park Baseball 2012 is also out this week. This won't appeal to many people in the UK, but it's the football... If you want to know what it is, it's the football manager of the baseball world. So, yes, new features in this one. You get the career mode that you had in 2011. You can build your own fictional team from scratch. You've got historical replays where you can play old seasons, like the 1969 seasons.
Yeah, those seasons.
You remember the World Series in 1969? Yeah,
I can't wait.
$2.99. Also out this week, we're on 55 minutes in the recording time, and that's not good because you haven't done what we've been playing.
You've got to cut out loads of crap.
Oh, yeah, good point, but still. How many releases have we got? Right, I'm going to go really quickly. Propel Man, it's like a physics-based game where you throw someone out and you have to fail on one thing. Creavers, which is creatures without the T replaced by a V. It's a sort of fluorescent, coloured, Lost Vikings-esque game, which looks quite interesting. Which looks quite interesting, yeah. I said interestings there. Good job I hid that under John. Rabbids Go HD. It's Rabbids Go Phone, but in HD.
It's out now.
And Being. That's
I like
Be
Rabbids. Rabbids
two...
are nice. Sorry. I think they're funny. They look really cool. But I think the animator who came up with the whole Rabbids thing, he did a good job. I like Rabbids more than Rayman. Rayman's just like Rayman.
Have you
Rabbids...
played Rayman Origins though?
No, I haven't played the
Rabbids. Oh, you need to play Rabbids.
You need to play that. Then come back to us and say Rabbids are better.
No, that's just a good game with a character. I'm saying the characterization of the Rabbids is they're like fun that's and a little bit kind of crude. And like Rayman's like...
The character in the new game is actually much better, less grander than before.
Yeah, and he looks like Mark.
Doesn't
he? Mark doesn't have legs or arms.
Yeah. Looks like Mark.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
In this week, Being, which is double E from Chillingo.
There's no actual gameplay in the trailer.
No.
It's awful. Don't do that.
It's so annoying, isn't it?
It's terrible. Why would it? I don't...
So, we'd have no idea what it is.
It's got bees in it. I know that.
Bees. So, there we go. It's got two modes as well, story and survival. That was
good. I'm getting it now. It's good. You've said that.
Picture it in your mind. That was this week's new releases. Let us go straight on to what we've been playing for.
Lettuce.
What we've been playing.
First up, I am going to be. I'm going to be jetting out on a jet plane. I'm going to go first. No, I'm not really. I don't know where I was going with that. I was excited at the start of the sentence and I had to say something exciting to justify it. Anyway, I've been playing Spacechem or Spiscum. it's as
what's
it
all your pronunciation this week?
You're just they're like, all one
no
word.
No,
I don't know.
Spiskum. It's one word.
It's like Xbox and GameCube.
GameCube.
What's wrong with GameCube?
Come on,
guys. Was this why you all laugh when I suggested we have a four player on the GameCube? Okay, so Spishcam, or Space Ken, or Space Ken, if you want to mispronounce it. It looks like the worst game in the world. It just looks boring.
Chem.
Space Chem, I guess, but it stands for space chemicals, so I'm not quite convinced by your argument. Anyway, it looks boring. It looks really dull. There's like elements on the screen. It looks complicated. It looks like a sort of game that doesn't even really look like a game. It just looks like hard.
You're not really selling this.
Yeah, I know. Wait, hang on. There's a point.
Turn it around.
But actually, it's really good. And there is a reason why everyone who's played it loves it. It's because
they paid you loads of money.
Yes. But also, no, they didn't. But it's an incredibly good puzzle game. Like, it's really clever. And it makes you feel really clever as a result. It's sort of, it's one of those games where there's not one solution to a puzzle. There's like loads. And it doesn't penalize you for being like, for experimenting and like messing around. And it just says, you know what, just find your own solution. It feels like you're building a circuit board of solutions. And it's kind of like, wow, yes, that piece fits in there and I can fit that and I can do that. No, wait, if I do that, no, I can do that. And it makes you feel like the cleverest person ever alive once you get the solutions. It is essentially a game about producing chemicals from natural elements. So you get two elements and then you bond them in the thing. But it sounds really boring. And
there's a screenshot that says the Journal of Reaction Engineering.
Yeah, it's basically yeah, I know. Everything about the presentation, and if I described the game to you, it would sound boring. But once you play the game, it actually becomes, everything sort of falls into place within about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden you can look past the fact it looks like a diagram from your science book. And then it's just a very, very well-designed, clever puzzle game. And it is complicated, but it has a really well-staggered tutorial. I'm halfway through the tutorial and already the level's quite hard. But it's sort of like, it's a very well-designed game. I would say if you're a puzzle fan, you have to get it. But don't read anything about it and ignore the presentation because it looks boring. And I actually had it on my iPad for about 4 months. Because I hadn't got around. Yeah, because I was sort of thinking,
yes, I'm looking at when it came out.
Should I play it? Oh, no, I can't be bothered to play it. So I just sort of kept putting it aside. And then I played it last night and I was like, wow, this game's amazing. I played it for 3 hours in bed when I was about to go to sleep because I was thinking, oh, I might as well give it a go.
Well, and it was indie game of the year.
Yeah, it got a lot of rewards, and everyone I've heard who's actually played it, like people post YouTube videos of their solutions up because they're so pleased about how they've worked something out. And it is true. I was sort of sitting there thinking, oh yeah, I'm a flipping genius. That was flipping. That was amazing. But you'll get that feeling. It's a really good puzzle game. Everyone should play that who likes puzzle games.
$6.
Yeah, I bought it when it was on sale. It doesn't look very good. You can't blame me for that.
It's not on sale anymore, though. It's $6 again.
Yeah, but it's worth that. It's worth it. Actually, today, if you've got a PC, today as in Thursday, but I think it might still be in action tomorrow when this... Oh, no, it's run out of time. It was on special offer on Steam as well for £3. So, but it's gone now, I think.
Gone.
Yeah. Frozen Snaps, though, is on special offer on Steam for £6.45, and you should all get that instead.
And the title of our podcast is...
Pocket Gamer iPhone and PC Gaming Podcast. Anyway, Flight Control Rocket is the other game I played this week. I'll be very quick because I wrote a guide up about it because I liked it a lot. It's an interesting game though. It's an example of how in-app purchases could destroy a game, but kind of just I think Flight Control Rocket just about gets away with them.
I played just the demo on the Retina screen on the iPad the other week. I downloaded it and played it and thought, I've only played the first level, right? And I thought, this is really boring.
No, I didn't think it was amazing when I first started playing, but it sort of gets under your skin quite well. It's the new additions to the game are quite clever. It's not flight control. And it's not Harbour Master. But it is certainly a clever little twist. Once everything starts filling up, because it does take about 3 or 4 minutes before things start really picking up.
But do you, I mean, I've not played it, but the impression I get is kind of like, obviously, Firemint have been, were a brilliant developer, bought by EA, went a bit quiet, released Spymouse. And then you kind of, is this something they put their like their B team on? It's kind of like, franchise, what can we do?
Not really. In terms of presentation, it's a lot better than Flight Control and...
Yeah, but that was like.
But I mean, like, in terms of design, it's a good game. I just think that maybe the influences from EA are pretty obvious, though. They haven't
done a big logo.
No, not that. No,
don't vote EA the worst company.
No, it's weird when you hold up the iPad, pure evil seeps out. It's like a black tar.
What color is it? Is it black?
It's like a black steaming tar.
Green sheen, maybe.
Anyway, no, you can tell the EA influences because when you run out of lives, you get lives now. When you run out of lives, it goes, oh, you missed this score by 1,000. Do you want to pay some coins to continue playing? And I'm thinking, what's this? So I spend some of the... It's in-game currency. So I spend some coins. And then you get 3 lives again. And you pick up where you left off. I was like, hang on a moment.
But equally, that's a well-known arcade... Kind of
no, it isn't. In the arcades, you can pick up where you went off in terms of the actual difficulty and where you are on the level, but your scores reset. That's the key.
No, they don't.
They do.
No, you don't.
All arcade games.
You don't put another credit in because you're trying to 1cc death smiles, precisely. Actually, I think you'll find.
Yeah, precisely. Peter's right. If you're trying to 1cc something, you don't put the coin in. But anyway,
of course you reset
the score. No, I mean, like, if you...
Not in everything you don't, no.
Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Metal Slug 2.
Classic.
I don't think in Gauntlet you did.
Yes, you do.
No, you didn't. You didn't reset your score.
Yes, you do.
No, not in Gauntlet. No, you pay for food. Definitely pay for food. Yeah, and life, I think.
Go.
All right. So Gauntlet, that's it. You definitely resets your score in Operation Wolf, and the other one that was the sequel, Operation Thunder.
So,
it doesn't matter. It just feels a little bit sort of. And then you've got these energy crystals that you can buy with, again, in game, or you won't have enough money in game to buy them, and you just sort of think they didn't really need to put that in.
But when you can buy it within that currency you've been playing for the last 10 years, it's like...
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, like, there's one bot that you can equip which gives you, like, which can occasionally make the ships invincible. It was kind of like... And it's worth 100,000 coins, and you get, like, about 1,000 a game. And I was sitting there thinking, no, that's not good. No, that's not how you do it. It's so that sort of influence. There is definitely a sort of... How much money can we make influence in this one? And you didn't get that with Flight Control and Real Racing and Real Racing 2. Or indeed Spymouse, but I guess they were developing that before EA took them over. So that's a real shame. But I think the actual game itself is actually quite fun. I think it's a little bit... I don't think it's quite as pure as Flight Control, the original, in terms of the gameplay. But in terms of interesting spins on the original gameplay, I think it's interesting enough to be worth checking out. But who's up next?
Well, I've not played anything, so I'll go up next. I've not played anything.
Oh. Why is that, Keith?
But apparently, Keith, you're going to play like a really exciting game that you're going to up. It's right up your street. So I've heard.
Yeah. I've been very busy, Mr.
You've Wilson. Been busy. Oh, suddenly.
Oh, look who's Mr. Busy now.
Very busy, Mr. Wilson.
Oh.
That's luxuriating in a lovely hotel room.
You've been what in a hotel room? What?
Luxuriating myself.
What does that mean?
Well, I had 2 baths, so that's kind of showing off. Luxuriating. I don't have hot water in Manchester.
All right. Peter.
Hi. Yes, I've been playing Tiny Tower.
Tiny?
What? I like to call it the waiting game. It's because you choose some stuff to do and then you wait about a bit, which is quite...
Really not that long, though.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I've played those kind of freemium wait about or pay some extra money kind of games before, and I've never really found one that... That's not fair. I found one or two that I've kind of liked, and one that I had quite a lot of fondness for. But I think that actually Tiny Tower does that kind of game the best. I think it manages to add just enough more traditional gameplay hooks into it to keep you involved and to keep your mind active while you're waiting for stuff to happen. And so, for example, I think actually, you know, the art is really excellent and the music is wonderful. It reminds me of the sort of older SimCity games. The thing that I think is the very best addition to that game is the elevator. And it's because it gives you a little icon at the bottom of the screen that says you've got somebody waiting in the elevator. And then you go down there and then you press on them and then it gives you an up and down button and you can make them traverse the building. And you just have to deliver them to a floor. And that's kind of a boring thing to do, you know, like outside of, you know, it's kind of just a standard thing. It's not, there's nothing particularly action packed about it, but it keeps you inside of that game and it keeps your mind a little bit more active because you can just boot up the game and then tap on the floors and just refill them, restock them, make sure everything's, you know, all good and all happy. And that's kind of like an automatic thing after a while. But with the elevator, you have to see, right, this individual person wants to go to this specific floor, so I need to pay attention now and I need to go up. And then as you're slowly traveling up the building, you're seeing that, oh, I haven't got a full apartment there.
How high is your tower?
It's not something you ask the man.
It's
you have to wait for the, you know, you have to wait a little while before you do that.
Yeah.
At least after a meal.
It's pretty tall at the moment. Right now, in fact.
Okay, no, the exact. I guess do we need to say at this point that Peter is kind of like reliving kind of classical gaming, iOS gaming. So obviously,
yeah.
So it came out a year ago, pretty much, because I remember because I reviewed it. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, I basically was kind of like inspired to go and see all of these great like games that I've kind of missed out on, because basically just to kind of give my background, basically like my background is like portables and like home consoles, which are things that don't exist on PG. So like
they don't exist, Peter. Remove the information from your brain.
So I'm kind of really enjoying the fact that I can go back and see all these games, because I've actually got this massive like stack load of games that everyone loves, and I can go and trawl through PG's archives and go, right, I need to go and play all of these games because they're critically acclaimed. I've got loads of stuff in front of me, and that's fantastic. I've got 24 floors on my tiny tower, and shit. I've been really sort of hammering through it. And I do think that elevator is a remarkable work of of gameplay sort of advancement. But
it's the core, because it's the gameplay, and it's equally one of the big upgrade mechanics in terms of like kind of paid for stuff as well. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
you really want to, you quite quickly feel kind of restricted by it. It is slow. When once you hit like 10 levels, you're like, oh, I've really got to upgrade the elevator. I can't wait anymore. Yeah.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And they're not very stingy with the actual cash, which I think is really encouraging. And obviously, like just the advancements, like notifications and that kind of stuff. Like it just keeps you coming back. And it's the game that I've played like the most this week out of everything I've been playing. You know, and I've got stuff for review. So it definitely does keep you coming back. So I'm very very pleased with that. And I think it kind of does show that, you know, those kind of freemium wait your turn and harvest stuff games, there is potential within them, definitely. So I'm going to try and explore a few more at some point.
Yeah. I would kind of say there's not many that do it as well as those guys, because I don't think particularly it kind of affects their gameplay design, but they're two twins, and they make games because they love making games, and that kind of thing that kind of shows through. And they don't make games to make money, so they just kind of make games because they really kind of want people to have that kind of joyful experience. And so they're kind of people who won't put the monetization in, so they won't kind of like look at kind of metrics to tweak things. Things are just going, well, just make a really good game, and if people like it, they'll buy stuff. I think you, from what you're saying, it's completely proven, and obviously it's been a massive success. Absolutely.
John.
Yes. Well, it's actually one we missed out the we missed out of our kind of a weekly roundup in terms of being released this week, which is called Bounty Bots, which is from a company from a developer called Monkey Fun, or kind of spelled oddly, but they, I mean,
posted a news article about it.
I know we wrote a news article about it. Yeah, it came out today. So I don't think they've released a game under their own name before. So, but previously they have a pretty good track record. So they released Archetype, which is what about like a year, almost like 2 years ago, I think. It was one of the first kind of online kind of FPSs on iOS. And it was a bit before kind of free to play came in. So I think it was you had to buy it, didn't you? I think it's like $2. I think, but it's technically very, very good. And then they kind of bizarrely actually developed the My Horse game for Natural Motion, which has been very, very successful. And most of the company, they're quite a small developer in San Francisco, and I think the main kind of the lead kind of programmers and artists have come out of console development. So a lot of them worked at LucasArts. So they're technically they're very, very strong. They've worked on, you know, kind of Force Unleashed, all this kind of thing. So kind of Bounty Bots is the first game they've done under their own kind of steam. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, the artwork is kind of, I guess you call it kind of cowboy steampunk. So I've not played a lot because it only just came out today, but it's a online only kind of, I mean, it's kind of first person, but actually technically it's like a third person, very tight over the shoulder kind of game. And you're kind of going around, kind of obviously shooting people in a deathmatchy type thing, but also kind of collecting money, and then kind of you have to go to a safe and then bank the money, and then obviously partly it's that kind of free to play, so you're kind of banking the money in order to kind of have that currency when the game ends, so you can buy new stuff and customize and buy weapons and blah blah blah. But equally, it's kind of an interesting thing where you have to like stand in front of the safe for like a couple of seconds, which obviously in a first person game is not something you particularly want to do because someone's going to come and shoot you. So, and it's kind of, I think it's eight players online. I have to check that, but, but it's pretty good. The art style I think is maybe a little bit, and actually I noticed they put it under kind of like a, I think when you go to the App Store, you can have two categories. So they're in games and one of their categories within that is kids games. So it's not like a frag game where it's very bloody. It's just basically when you're shot, you kind of like respawn for a couple of seconds in kind of jail, and your kind of little character, they're all kind of little robots, and they're kind of like going, aah! They're really angry. They're kind of like smashing their kind of bashing their fists on the floor, and then you kind of respawn. So it's quite kind of cutesy, but equally, I don't know whether maybe kids these days are much more adaptable than I was, but it's still like a fairly first person kind of controlled like dual stick. So I've been playing that, and it's going. I quite like it. It's very. I don't think there's many games that have that kind of similar art feel and are doing things in the same way they are, but I guess we'll have to see exactly how it works. Because particularly when you have just like a game that's only online, then obviously when you go into a server, then you have to have people in the server, as we kind of discussed earlier in the podcast. So there's slightly going to be their success will be kind of contingent on they've got enough people kind of playing it all the time, because as far as I know, there's no bots in it. I think everyone in the game is a proper person. So.
Well, thank you very much.
That's okay.
So, thanks to all my guests who have joined me here today.
You're not Parkinson, are you?
Parking.
Thank you to Peter Willington.
That's all right.
Thank you to John Jordan, who you just heard speaking there.
Thank you, Will. The pleasure was all mine.
And thank you to Keith Andrew.
Yep.
He's too busy.
I'm
just phoning it in these days, aren't I?
We will be back next week, so join us then. And all I've said goodbye to my guests. So let's go. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.